Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we read of extraordinary happenings in the Scripture and wonder if these things really did happen. As we heard from Matthew today, your Son shining as brilliantly as the sun, along with the wonder of Moses and Elijah, both long dead, standing there alive and speaking with your Son. What shall we do, O Lord, when the world around us says impossible and never happened? I ask, grant us the grace to believe. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever really wrestled with this question? What are the limits of the power of God? What are the limits of God's power? Are there any limits to God's power? Who are you and who am I to say what is or what is not possible when it comes to the mighty hand of the living God? This past Thursday evening in TNT, we learned from the book of Joshua. And we heard about many wonders there. First, as soon as the feet of the priests carrying the ark touched the flooding waters of the Jordan River, the flow was cut off and the water stacked up upstream. All Israel, a million plus people, crossed over on dry ground. The river was that way until the last of the Israelites crossed. Then 12 large stones from the middle were from where the priests stood, were gathered. And the last foot of the priest carrying the ark, as that last foot left the water, the riverbed, the water returned. And the flood waters resumed their rushing and crashing course downstream. Then the walls of Jericho, explain to me how this great impenetrable wall of Jericho came a-tumbling down. As Israel stands there blowing the trumpets and shouting on the seventh day after completing silently the seventh circumference of the city wall. Then, Joshua chapter 10, where Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of all Israel, O sun, stand still over Gibeon, O moon, over the valley of Ajaon. Joshua chapter 10, verses 13 and 14. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies, as it is written in the book of Jasher. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There is never a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a man. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. And I can go on and on about these kinds of events, let alone stepping all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, where the Lord created the heavens and the earth. Does this event recorded in Matthew chapter 17 still seem so far-fetched in your mind? Listen to Peter's firsthand account of the event from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 and 18. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on that sacred mountain. Peter says we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter says we ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. The we is Peter, James, and John, the three that were the inner circle of Jesus' disciples. Matthew chapter 17. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as the light. There on that mountain, the inner essence, for this is what transfigured means, the inner essence, that inner nature of Jesus as the Christ was allowed to show forth. The person of the Son was allowed to shine forth for a brief moment. The inner reality of who Jesus the man is as the Christ show forth for Peter, James, and John to witness an event that I can probably say is more memorable than many life events. If you were there, what kind of permanence of the moment would be etched in your memory? I've been reminiscing a lot, and I imagine sometimes you like to reminisce. And at various times of reminiscing, I travel back through time, intentionally trying to recall the places I lived and the things I did at those different places, the memorable moments and sometimes the not-so-memorable moments. They're all there. And I'm sure at various times you do the same thing, and you may astonish yourself. I remember that. Reminiscing of the days gone by. For instance, for me living on Mitchell Drive in Page Manor down in Dayton across from the airbase. I was about 4 years old, and the sidewalk coming from the house and the sidewalk going up and down the street. My dad's motorcycle was sitting in the street, and I was there 4 years old, so I go, motorcycle doesn't have training wheels. Why does my bike have training wheels? I went and got the crescent wrench from my dad's toolbox, and they're sitting on the sidewalk out front with the crescent wrench. I took off the one training wheel and put it aside. I took the other training wheel off and put it aside. And then I got on the bike and just went off. Age 4, I left them there. And I'm sure all of you can recall childhood moments similarly to that, where you did something and it's just etched in. Now, extraordinary as that was, extraordinary. You should have seen me riding wheelies and all that. You remember those old little bikes, wheels about that big, thick, hard plastic or hard rubber, whatever they were made of back in the mid-60s? Okay, riding my bike, popping wheelies, doing crazy things. Now, as amazing as that was, I'm pretty sure seeing the brilliant shining of Jesus with Moses and Elijah standing there talking with Jesus is much more memorable. If I can recall taking the training wheels off my bicycle, Peter is able to recall that moment on the mountain. Peter's writing these things that he and the other apostles were teaching. They're not myths. Their message, their lifestyle, what they're doing and sharing is not a myth. I found this fascinating. I did a quick internet search asking, how many years between Moses and Jesus? And on Quorum, which is an answer, ask a question, answer question type webpage and all that, one person began their answer. The person on whom the biblical figure of Jesus was probably based, there is no evidence Jesus as portrayed in the Bible actually existed, was supposedly crucified around the year 30 CE. CE stands for common era. They don't want to deal with AD, which means in the year of the Lord. CE, Moses is an entirely fictional character. The stories which included him being written during the 6th century BCE, that's before common era because they don't want to deal with before Christ, but we're at the setting the 13th century BCE. So all you can say is that the time between when the story containing the fictional Moses was set and the time when the person on whom the biblical figure of Jesus was supposedly died is around 1400 years. That was one answer. Did you hear fictional and supposedly based and all that? Another answer, and this is coming from the perspective of Islam, a person was answered by quoting from the Quran, I assume, because it had the Arabic letters there and so on. But they did not kill him nor crucified him, but the resemblance of Jesus was put over another man and they killed that man. And those who differ therein are full of doubts. They have no certain knowledge. They follow nothing but conjecture. For surely they killed him not, Jesus. So that's how another person answered. So, okay, let's ask another question and see how Quorum answers this question, what the people reply. So I ask this question, how long after Moses died was Jesus born? And this is a first answer that was on Quorum came back, Moses never existed. So the question is actually pointless. If you believe that Moses did exist, then you do not see a reason for fact or common sense. So we'll believe only what is stated in the Bible, a book of complete falsehoods written by Hebrews to make religion their own. Here's another answer. Let me quote what I've written in response to a similar question. The human imagination created all religious texts. Don't search for rhyme or reason in religious mythology. You have fragments of old stories about various gods and heroes put together with good intentions in the best case, or with a desire to put down the next tribe in its traditions. The notion that there's any reality behind religious text is naive. If not observed, all religions are created equal, and there are thousands of equally fictional scriptures. They say myth. They say fiction. Did not incur in actual human history. That's the perspective of many in the world around us. What about you? What about you? Is it myth? Is it fictional fantasy? Or is it actual human history? Peter. Peter's describing actual history. He's retelling his eyewitness testimony. It is history. This event on the mountain actually took place. There, the glory of the Christ, the Son of God, shone forth. There, Moses stood. There, Elijah stood. Moses, long dead, dying on a mountainside outside of the promised land well over 1,000 years earlier. Elijah, long gone, taken to heaven in that extraordinary fashion that Elisha saw. A chariot of fire carrying Elijah up, up, up and away in a whirlwind of fire. Those are the two talking with Jesus. And we turn to the Gospel of Luke to learn about the conversation a little bit. Luke chapter 9, verses 30 and 31. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus about Jesus' departure. The Greek word in Luke chapter 9, translated as departure, is exodus. Exodus, his leaving, would bring about the fulfillment at Jerusalem. Fulfillment, the Greek root word is plereo, which means to make, to fold, to bring to completion. The Gospel of Matthew is all full of this fulfillment. This scripture was fulfilled. This scripture was fulfilled. This scripture was fulfilled. All through Matthew you find it. Here in Luke, that word is fulfillment found also. Jesus is fulfilling. He's bringing to completion, making it full. Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, years earlier, don't know exact timeline here, year and a half, 2 years earlier maybe, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, "Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." In other words, to bring to completion, to the fullness of what they are. What Jesus said, as recorded in this verse of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 17, is now being fulfilled, in a sense, on the mountainside in Matthew chapter 17. Moses stands there. Moses, the lawgiver, is there. Elijah, the great prophet, is there. So Jesus doesn't say, in Matthew 5, he didn't come to abolish the law and prophets, but to fulfill them. So there, Moses, giver of the law. Elijah, the great prophet, talking about what is to be fulfilled. Where? In Jerusalem. in Jerusalem. What is going to happen in Jerusalem? The fulfillment will happen in Jerusalem. And it is brought to that fulfillment when Jesus will speak those words from the cross. It is finished. Meaning, the debt has been paid in full. The fulfillment of the law and the prophets, the debt has been paid in full. We need to remember this event where Jesus is speaking with Jesus and Elijah takes place after Peter's confession, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That you find that in Matthew chapter 15. Jesus is asking, "What do the people say who I am?" And then he turns to the disciples and says, "But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answers, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Then Matthew chapter 16 picks up from that. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. That's the fulfillment that will be coming in Jerusalem. Now on that mountain, Moses and Elijah are speaking of Jesus' departure in Jerusalem to fulfill the word of God. Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 1, he writes about hearing the voice. "For he," Jesus, "received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, 'This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased.'" Peter writes, "We ourselves have heard this voice come from heaven, and we were with him on the sacred mountain." That voice which said, "This is my Son, whom I love," also said, "Listen to him." That word "listen" means to learn from, to comprehend, to understand. In other words, what Jesus is showing, what Jesus is teaching, what Jesus is instructing and guiding, all that 3+ years he is with the disciples, make it all your own. Take it in as your own. And that's precisely what Peter and the disciples came to do. Their old lives gave way to this new life in Christ. Their way of walking, their way of living, they were becoming like Jesus, their teacher. And that is the ultimate goal of discipleship, is to become like your teacher. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." That word "follow," it means to imitate one's way of acting. Jesus' teachings are now alive in the disciples in the way they live life daily. The teachings of Jesus came alive in the disciples as they emulate Jesus moment by moment, living out all that Jesus taught. They were fulfilling the Great Commission to go and make disciples, living out fully what it means to follow. And through the years and through the generations, this gospel, this good news of Jesus Christ has come into your own life. This faith we share as the church, this gospel of Jesus Christ, is actual human history. It's not myth, it's not fictional, it's not made up. It actually happened. Do I have the ability to comprehend Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, through the incarnation, somehow took on the fullness of humanity? Am I able to comprehend he's fully God and fully human through the incarnation? Do I have the ability to comprehend Moses and Elijah standing on that mountain talking with Jesus, though both had long departed this earth years earlier? But there they were, alive and talking and recognizable as Moses and Elijah. Do I have the ability to comprehend the shedding of the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus the Christ? Do I have the ability to comprehend Jesus the Christ is the perfect atoning sacrifice that redeems? Am I able to comprehend why His blood brings complete forgiveness of all sins? But it does. Do any of us really have the ability to comprehend the power of the living God? Yet all these things did take place in actual human history. What does this mean for you? It's the best news you could ever hear. It means the reality of the forgiveness of sins. You believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The reality of the forgiveness of sins is yours. And you really, truly are forgiven before the holy and righteous God. You have been clothed in the righteousness of Christ because He took all your sin. You now have all His righteousness. You are redeemed. Believe Jesus is the Son of the living God. It's no made-up story. It's reality. It's more real than our human comprehension can actually grasp. The power of the living God. He became flesh. The Son became flesh and dwelt among us. He was crucified for our sins. He was dead and buried. And on the third day He rose. He ascended to heaven. And He will come again. Do we really have the ability to comprehend all that? But it's real and true. It is history that has happened. It's reality that will come. Jesus is coming again. It's no made-up story. The faith is not made up from myths. It is rooted in actual people's life experiences and the reality Christ was crucified, dead and buried. Christ rose again, and He will come again. The reality is more than our comprehension and grasp, yet we believe. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and we are redeemed by God's grace. That's the best news you could ever have. So why are you sitting there so quiet right now? Think about that. You are forgiven by the grace of God completely through and through, now and forever, because Christ, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen and amen.